Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into the program. I guess happy Pi Day, right? 3.14. This is a run of days where, you know, dorks like me can geek out a little bit for different things. I mean, I'm not a math guy at all, so the whole 3.14, you know, Pi thing doesn't bother me, but the deals you can get on pies and pizza pies and all of that's pretty exciting stuff. So yes, it is Pi Day. That's supposed to be P-I, the numerical pie, but you know, pizza places, bakeries, all that, they're going to take advantage of it, and rightly so. And then tomorrow, of course, is the Ides of March. What does that mean? It means you can expect we're going to play vehicle by the Ides of March, maybe even twice, maybe even once an hour. Because they can. And then Saturday is 316, which means it's 316 day, which means I'm going to be sharing a lot of Stone Cold Steve Austin memes on that day. And one of my favorite things to share on 316 day is Stone Cold ET. In my mind, the reason why the internet was created, so that somebody could make a video where they went through a drive-thru of a White Castle pretending to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, but wearing an ET mask. So if you've never seen Stone Cold ET, celebrate on Saturday by watching it. But yes, some interesting celebratory days. And I put celebratory in radio air quotes because, you know, it's just, it's all gimmick. Well, not the Ides of March. I mean, that's a real thing. But the rest of it's just really social media fun. So yesterday we talked about the proposal by Mayor John Mitchell to amend the residency requirement, to take away the residency requirement for Unit C employees, which is the managerial non-union employees that are employed by the city, because they're having trouble filling those positions. Last night was a meeting of the City Council's Committee on Ordinances, and the discussion, City Solicitor Jakes was there representing the administration. The discussion made it clear that some of the counselors are in favor of keeping a residency requirement. Ward 5 Counselor Joe Lopes talked about how he has concerns about people taking the job from another state and then moving here and, you know, buying a house in Dartmouth or Lakeville or something. He says he's open to the idea of it being, you know, if somebody already owns a house in a surrounding community, he doesn't think they should have a residency requirement. But if they're coming here from out of state, somewhere other than Massachusetts or Rhode Island, they should have to live in New Bedford. And I get Councilor Lopes' point, but I still think that's still too restrictive. You should let people live where they want to live. You want to pay them to do the job. You want to hire them because you like their qualifications, not because of where they're going to live. And they shouldn't have to pay a penalty if they live somewhere else. However, Solicitor Jakes did say that he believes the administration would be amenable to a provision like that. Councilor Burgo spoke and talked about how he thought that it was unfair to offer it for the UNC employees and not for the union employees, which of course is, you know, part of their collective bargaining agreement. That's why it can't just be a blanket suspension of the residency requirement. Now, as we reported yesterday, and you can read about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, Mayor Mitchell sent a letter to the head of the AFSCME union and the head of the firefighters union and said, you know, we have plans to also, you know, make this equal. And the plan that he was proposing was for the AFSCME employees not to have a, well, not to enforce the residency requirement for them. They are required to be New Bedford residents throughout the duration of their contract, throughout the duration of their employment, rather. So he's looking to not enforce that. And for the firefighters, they, because the mayor does feel like public safety personnel do need to live in the city for a period of time, he's looking to take their 10-year requirement and bring that down to 5 years to match the current police contract. The police was the same. They negotiated that down. Now he wants to be able to do the same for the firefighters. However, they're not in a collective bargaining period right now. So Solicitor Jakes said that the administration was requesting that they table the mayor's proposal. I believe he said for 2 weeks that they can work out a memorandum of understanding with those two unions to get those down. Councilor Burgo said, I don't want to see those have to be for any of those people at all. And Ward 1 Councilor Leo Chiquette said the same thing. He didn't want any requirements of where someone lives to fulfill those jobs. So the council did unanimously vote, or the ordinance committee rather did unanimously vote to, and by the way, Ward 1 Councilor, I'm sorry, Councilor at Large, Linda Morad, also felt the same way, that it should just be no residency requirement at all. So they did unanimously vote, the committee unanimously voted to table that discussion, to table that vote, and we'll see what the administration can work out with those unions. And I'm wondering how much, and Mayor Mitchell will be on with Chris today at 11 a.m. I'm wondering if it's possible that, you know, maybe the mayor does budge on this and say, okay, you know what, if it's an all or nothing thing, we need to fill these other positions so badly, like, let's go with the all. Or let's put a time period on it where we say for the next 4 or 5 years, we're going to, you know, and then we'll revisit it. The job market could be a lot different in 4 or 5 years. We're talking about, in that period of time, you'll be, you could be through another presidential administration if you say 5 years. So you could say, we'll revisit every 5 years going forward and see if there's a need for it. I mean, there's a lot that could be negotiated here to try to make this happen. And so the mayor will come in later on, speak with Chris, and we can find out, you know, what his appetite is for hearing some of this, because as you know, I'm not for it. I don't think it's necessary at this point in time. You know, maybe it was at one point, but at this point in time, you're having trouble filling jobs, and you're having trouble filling those jobs in which you are also requiring people to live in the city. So yes, the police, they only have to live here for the first 5 years of their employment, but you're still having trouble getting people. And I know for a fact there are people who would be New Bedford police officers if not for that residency requirement. So that'll be an interesting discussion going forward over the next couple of weeks. We'll also hear the mayor's reaction to the proposals that were submitted regarding State Pier. It looks like rather one all-encompassing plan, which was what was previously selected by Mass Development that everybody was up in arms about. There's now a lot of plans to develop portions of State Pier. So there's different entities that want to do different things. And that might be a more judicious approach that is more palatable to people. Let the ferry companies handle the ferry part. Let, you know, the hospitality company handle the hospitality part. So out of the proposals that were submitted, one, some, all, or none could be the final selection. And then there's another story that I want to talk about. And this one has generated a lot of comments online, a lot of discussion. There's been comments, at least I know I can tell you that, you know, we've had to remove some comments. But I also shared this story in some town groups, and those town groups have turned off commenting on this story because of the way people have reacted to this. But during the Old Rochester Pittsfield game on Monday, the state semifinal, there was a moment in the, I think it was the third quarter, where an Old Rochester player and a Pittsfield player got into a little scuffle, and the Old Rochester player spit on the Pittsfield player. And there's video of it that was put on social media. You can see the video in the story at WBSM.com and on the app. I mean, it's clear as day that the Old Rochester player spit on the Pittsfield player, or at him. I couldn't tell from the video that it definitely hit him, but you can see it goes at him. And then the Pittsfield player shoves him. The Pittsfield player was called for a technical foul for the push, but the Old Rochester player was not called for anything, and I think that's because the officials didn't see him spit. When the school officials found out about this on Tuesday morning, they began investigating. The Old Rochester player admitted to doing it. He was removed from the team, and he will not play in the state championship game. Now, a lot of people are rightly upset about this. A lot of people are taking this to places where it doesn't have to go. This was a dumb mistake in the heat of the moment from a kid that, listen, I don't know him personally. I haven't known this kid since he was like 3 or 4. But when my son was 5, 6, 7, 8 playing on youth sports teams, this kid's older brother was on his team. His dad was my son's coach for T-ball the first year. So I know the family in a very limited sense, and I've always thought them to be really good people. From some of the conversations I've had with sources and people, the kid now is a passionate player who can get into it with other players. You know, he can jaw at other players, but that this is something that, you know, he's never been known to do before. So for people to be completely crushing this kid is unfair. He made a stupid mistake. He owned up to his stupid mistake, and he's suffering the consequence for it. I don't think he had bad intentions here. The other part of it is people are taking it even beyond that. But let's not get crazy with it. That's what happened. It was a heat of the moment thing that should not have happened. And school officials said that they are working to punish him according to their own discipline policies. They have been in contact with Pittsfield. They have been in contact with the MIAA to inform them of what they're doing about it. Now, the game was, it was a 10-point win for Old Rochester. It's not like this affected the outcome of the game. I don't know for sure because I wasn't at the game, and I don't know the full play-by-play. But I don't believe that the Pittsfield player had to leave the court. You know, I don't think that it was a second tech and he had to leave the court. So it didn't really have an effect on the outcome. Old Rochester was 10 points up when it happened, and they won by 10 points. So, and I haven't seen anything, and I could be incorrect, but at least from what I was trying to read yesterday, I haven't seen anything where anybody from Pittsfield was trying to say, you know, this cost us the game in some fashion. I think everybody understood what it was in the moment that it happened. Unacceptable, but also, you know, the game wasn't affected by this. So the future for that team continues on. They will play in the state championship game. We'll talk more about that coming up. Now, to step away from some of the negative part of that, it is pretty great that we have two local teams that are in state championship games. That's a pretty big deal. And basketball in this area is usually pretty good. But a lot of teams will have their up and down years. It's been a while since Old Rochester has been to a state final. Wareham was just there last year and won the championship. So it's been, you know, feast or famine for some of these teams over the years. But we've got Old Rochester playing in the state final. We've got Wareham playing in the state final. And Wareham is playing Bourne in the state final. So we have a team in Wareham and its two biggest rivals, Old Rochester and Bourne. All three teams playing for a championship and two of them against each other. I mean, that's a lot of excitement for local basketball fans, even if you don't live in one of those towns. Or in the case of Old Rochester region. I think that's a very good thing. And you see the way it pays off. It gets younger kids interested in the sport and then creates the next generation of kids that can maybe get to the Songus Arena. I've got to take a break. 508-996-0500. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments.
Dread.
All right, and we will take more of your calls coming up, 508-996-0500. But we're going to be going into the newsroom in just a moment, so I want to make sure that we give you enough time. So we'll wait until after the news to take any calls. And, of course, you can send in your app chat messages and your open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I want to remind you, too, that we are giving away some tickets this week. If you want to check out the 360 All-Stars, it's a presentation of the Zeiterion, but it's happening at New Bedford High School's Braunschweig Auditorium coming up on Sunday. And if you want to get tickets, you can do so by going to Zeiterion.org or by clicking the contest page at WBSM.com because you can also get it there as well. But they're also doing a special raffle as part of this too. So not only can you buy tickets to see this amazing reinvention of the traditional circus with BMX riders, break dancers, basketball freestylists, and all kinds of performers in that, you know, the idea of everything being round and in rotation. That's why it's the 360 All-Stars. But not only can you check them out, and they've gone all over the world before they've come here to New Bedford. So this is going to be a very exciting show. But when you buy tickets at Zyterian.org, the Zyterian, or even maybe if you win the tickets, the Zyterian is going to be selecting one lucky audience member to receive a door prize of Prime Celtics tickets. That's right. After the 360 All-Stars perform on Sunday, one attendee will be selected at random to receive two floor seats to a regular season Celtics game through December 2024. Tickets include access to the Putnam Club, which is valued at $4,800. They were donated on behalf of the Pagliuca Family Foundation. Of course, Steve Pagliuca, one of the owners of the Celtics. And so you have a chance to get some premium Celtics seats and a premium Celtics experience just for attending an already awesome show. So visit Zyterian.org to find out more about the show, and visit WBSM.com and the app to enter to win a free pair of tickets to see the 360 All-Stars at the Bronze Beagle Auditorium at New Bedford High School coming up on Sunday at 4 p.m. All right, it's time now to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day with Phil Devitt.
A proposed TikTok ban is now in the Senate's hands. A bill floats a four-day work week for the United States and a snack recall at Walmart.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says that the House will apply every amount of pressure on the Senate to get the bill banning TikTok passed. The House on Wednesday approved the bill that could lead to the forced sale or nationwide ban of the social media app. It would require TikTok's parent company, Chinese-owned tech giant ByteDance, to sell the app within 180 days or see it banned from U.S. app stores. There's a strong proposal on the table right now for a temporary ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. That's what Secretary of State Antony Blinken told reporters Wednesday. He added that it's up to Hamas to take the deal and end the suffering in the region. There are no reports of injuries after an American Airlines flight made an emergency landing at LAX. The plane, which took off from Dallas, landed safely Wednesday night. It's not clear what kind of mechanical problem the Boeing 777 experienced. Last week, a United Airlines plane, also a Boeing 777, made an emergency landing at LAX after losing a tire during takeoff in San Francisco. President Joe Biden will be in Michigan today as he seeks to hold on to the support of voters in that state in November. He spoke in Wisconsin yesterday, highlighting new investments in infrastructure. Biden said more than $3 billion in grants will be used across the U.S. to help repair neighborhoods and communities cut off from transportation infrastructure years ago. Senator Bernie Sanders is introducing a bill that would establish a four-day work week in the U.S. If passed, the bill would lower the threshold required for overtime pay from 40 hours a week to 32 over the course of a four-year period. Actress Olivia Munn reveals she's been fighting breast cancer for the past year. In an Instagram post Wednesday, the X-Men and Newsroom star said she was diagnosed in February of last year. The 43-year-old mother of one said she hoped sharing her journey would help others find comfort, inspiration, and support on their own journeys. And the FDA is recalling cashews sold at Walmart. Great Value honey-roasted cashews are being recalled for not correctly labeling proper allergen warnings for milk and coconut. Concerned shoppers can check and see if they're affected by the blue wrap around the label and July 8th best used by date.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Red Sox play the Philadelphia Phillies at spring training today at 1:05. Boston Bruins play the Montreal Canadiens tonight at 7. And the Celtics play the Phoenix Suns tonight at 7:30.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Thursday morning. Mostly cloudy skies to start. Temperature in the mid-40s as we head into the afternoon. Becomes a mostly sunny, mild. Temperatures lower 50s. That breeze out of the east once again. Keeping it cooler along the immediate coastline. Overnight tonight, clouds will increase. Temperature around 42. As we head into Friday, chances for rain will be increasing. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Delgarmin on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. So if you want to check out some of those games, whether it be the Old Rochester State Championship game or the Wareham-Bourne State Championship game, they're all happening at the Songus Center in Lowell. It's a great arena, small arena, kind of along the lines of, what's it called, the Amica Pavilion, whatever, the AMP. Amica Mutual Pavilion. It's the Dunk, the Providence Civic Center. It's along the same lines of that, actually. I think it might even be a little smaller than that, but it is it's a great, great place. It's about an hour and 40 minutes from here, so it is going to be a little bit of a ride, but it's worth it for the basketball that you're going to see. On Saturday at 4 p.m., Old Rochester takes on Charlestown in the state final of Division III, and then on Sunday at 2 p.m., Wareham faces off against Bourne in the Division IV state final. So if you are going to try to check out both games, Old Rochester on Saturday and Wareham on Sunday. So check out those games if you are a fan. If you just want to go and show support. It's, like I said, it's an hour and 40-minute ride, but it doesn't feel like it. It's pretty quick. I say that, though, the last time I drove to Lowell that I can recall, when I was driving home from Lowell, I was coming home from a Monday Night Raw at what was then called the Songus Arena. This was 1998. I think it was sometime in the fall of 1998. And it was my first time going to a Monday Night Raw live. And I went with my brother and my girlfriend and one of our friends. And I drove. And on the way home, I guess I fell asleep. Like right after we got off the Lowell Connector and onto the highway, I fell asleep while I was driving. And I woke up somewhere before the Kingston Mall exit. And I looked at my girlfriend and said, was I asleep? And she said, you were. We were talking to you and you weren't responding. Like, why did you let me keep driving? And I said, because you were driving fine. You were driving better than you do when you're awake. Okay. That was when I had the first inklings that maybe I had some kind of a sleep disorder. Years later, coming to find out, I had two. Sleep apnea and narcolepsy. And that was my narcolepsy kicking in. And it turns out that's what I have. I have narcolepsy without cataplexy. I don't close my eyes and look like I'm asleep, but you might hear me snore. I'm out. I'm not paying attention. So Anyway, we were young and dumb, so they just let me drive. Also, speaking of driving and maybe alternatives to driving, if you're going to fall asleep, we've been talking about bicycle riding, and I got a lot of messages from folks that wanted me to remind people that not only does Yesteryear Cyclery sell new bikes there, but they also do have that used bike section. So I don't know if we didn't mention that enough yesterday. But you can get used bikes there too. And good quality ones that have been, you know, maintained and tuned up and taken care of. I actually wanted to get a few accessories for my bike. Yesterday, I wanted to get a water bottle to attach onto it. And I wanted to get one for the handlebars because, you know, my bike being a beach cruiser, it's not the kind that you want to put on the frame. So I wanted to get a handlebar water bottle, and I wanted to get a basket. And I was debating whether or not I should put a basket on it because I'm like, a basket's going to kind of ruin the look of the bike. But I need it to be functional so that I can put stuff in it when I'm riding. I don't want to wear a backpack when I'm riding, so I need to have some function there too. And so Kristen, who works here with me and who was in the studio cleaning up my bike yesterday morning, thank you, Kristen, she said, go on over to Walmart and see what they have. They have some ones that'll look good with that. And sure enough, they did. They had a nice black mesh one. So I grabbed that and I rode the bike over to Walmart from the station here. And as I'm coming back, I ran into Skeddy. So it was nice seeing Skeddy and her friend yesterday as, you know, I'm out there on my bike. And I'll probably go for a little ride later on today. It's supposed to be decent weather. If I can get all my work done, take a break, go for a ride, come on back. Nice way to spend your lunch break. Anyway, 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in. You can also send in app chat messages, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. So this old Rochester story, the story of the player being taken off the team because he admitted to spitting on another player during the state semifinal game, it's getting a lot of coverage. Now, I know the Berkshire Eagle had a story. I couldn't read the story because I don't subscribe to their site and I wasn't paying for membership to read the story. But I'm not sure if they named the old Rochester player in that story. But just because some people have questioned why we didn't name him in the story, I mean, I'm going to tell you straight out, I know who it is. As soon as I saw the video, I knew who it was. But I chose not to put his name in the story because the school didn't identify him. His parents haven't come forward and identified him. And I don't know that he's 18 years of age and an actual adult. So this was not a sports related, you know, not a, if we were reporting how many points he had, that'd be one thing. And also, at this point, I think maybe, I don't know this for a fact, I'm just assuming, maybe the Pittsfield player or the Pittsfield administration, maybe somebody wanted to actual file charges. And if they do and he's a juvenile, then his name would be protected. So that could be part of it too. But just, you know, if you go in there and you name the kid in the comments, I'm going to delete the comment. I always had this uneasy feeling when I was working as a sports reporter and covering high schools for all the years that I did it, whenever we would write about a kid's injury. Because we weren't getting permission from the parents of these underage kids to write about their medical situation. And writing those stories, we weren't doctors. We weren't getting it from the doctors. We were getting the information from the coach, which, of course, you know, you trust they're giving you reliable information. But you don't know when a coach is trying to downplay it so that they don't hurt the kid's chances at a scholarship or something. So it was all, I was always a little bit unnerved about that fine line between Because you wouldn't just walk into a school and write about an underage kid without their parents' permission. You wouldn't go into a school and take photos without an adult's permission. But when it comes to sports, show up, write it, take as many photos, take videos, post them online. It's just always seemed odd to me. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here and we'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. So yesterday I went into the supermarket. Actually, yesterday I went to the Wareham Recycling Center. Because if you remember, I wrote that story earlier this week about the book shed. And I thought that they were going to have a huge turnout of people. But I guess because it's a Wednesday, it's probably a little bit harder for people to get there. I bet on Saturday when they're open from 9 to 12, because they're only open, you know, a few hours a week. They're open Wednesdays from 1 to 3 and Saturdays from 9 to 12. I bet on Saturday there's going to be a bunch of people there looking to get some books. But I went back because a friend of mine saw the story, and in the story, she saw that there was a book in there that she wanted. And her work schedule doesn't permit her to be able to get there on a Wednesday. And she was afraid the book wouldn't be there by the time she could get there because of the story. So I said, you know what? I'll take the ride out Wednesday and I'll get it for you. And so I went down there yesterday, talked with the folks over there. There was not a huge line of people, but I think, again, you know, that might change on Saturday. And I was able to get the book that she was looking for. I also grabbed, if you saw the skeleton that was hanging in the swap shed, the little glow-in-the-dark miniature skeleton, of course I had to grab that. And then, of course, somebody left some golf clubs out, and I was like, well, golf clubs, including a really nice Titleist driver. It's like, yeah, I'll take these. And then when I got back here to the station with them, I was showing them off to Brian Thomas. I was like, oh, wait a minute, these are left-handed clubs. So I either have to find somebody that needs left-handed clubs or learn to golf left-handed. So one of the two possibilities. Also, I came back and I was like, well, now I got to get something for dinner. So let me run over to Market Basket and get something to eat. And I'm going by the corned beef section where everybody is rooting through the corned beef, trying to find the right one, the one that has the right amount of fat, not too much fat, just enough fat. Is this one big enough for my family? They're going through, they're rolling over them, they're squeezing the bags, they're doing all kinds of, I don't know what you think you're doing to find the right corned beef, but they're going through all of this. And you know what's funny is, the other day I'd gone to Stop and Shop across the street here, and I saw the same thing happening. Everybody messing around with the corned beef, trying to get the best one. And listen, if you want to get the best corned beef, the easiest thing to do is to go to the butcher shop at 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, because they've got the best corned beef. Not only can you go in there and get the right corned beef for your family, and you can tell them how much fat you want on it, you can tell them how big of a corned beef you need, they can get all of that information for you. They can get all that information and get the perfect corned beef for you. But the really great part about the butcher shop is you can get your corned beef and cabbage already done. As Eric was telling us last week, they do it Portuguese style. So they're going to throw a little chorizo in there with it. But they don't have an unlimited supply, so you need to get your orders in. They've been serving it up for 40 years at the butcher shop, and anybody who's had it will agree, they are the best. They'll be serving it today through Sunday. So if you want to stop by today, get an order for yourself to take home and try it out, say, oh yeah, that really is the best. Then you can call back and put in your order to pick up for Sunday to get your family's corned beef and cabbage. I love it. I will eat it every day. I'm probably not going to get it today because I have bowling tonight, and I don't think my teammates would appreciate it if I had corned beef and cabbage right before I went to bowling. But it might be in the plans for tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, plus leftovers on Monday and maybe into Tuesday. So get your order into the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Stop by, try some of their corned beef and cabbage. I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. They've been doing it for 40 years because they've been doing it right. The Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. All right, I got to take one final break this hour. I'll be back in a few. And that's going to do it for this hour, but we'll be back in the next hour. More of your phone calls, 508-996-05.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.